Hey, it's your girl, Dr. LJ. Before we jump into this episode, I want to remind you about the Endo Unlocked Virtual Summit, 10-day event empowering, educating, and motivating anybody with a uterus, anybody that's dealing with endometriosis. This is for you. Now, here's the deal. We don't just touch on endo and how it impacts inflammation. We definitely address that, but we talk about other things like the missing link in endometriosis, nervous system dysregulation, what to do when you've had a hysterectomy and you're dealing with prolapse, what to do if you're dealing with mold, parasites, acne, infertility, SIBO, copper excess, all of these things that really go on when you get stuck in the pain and trauma loop, emotional eating, how to deal with incontinence, estrogen dominance, perimenopause, the list goes on and on and on. So if any of these pique your interest or you're kind of like, I need more information, I want you to pause this podcast right now, go to the show notes, click the link, and grab your free seat. Now, here's the deal. If you want to grab that VIP, this is the time. Right now, it is only $67. When you get the VIP, you're going to get additional free coaching, additional resources by myself and other coaches inside of our Facebook group. So before you enjoy this episode, pause right now, go to the show notes, grab your ticket to Endo Unlocked, and I will see you there.
We always talk everything endo. But here's the deal. Endometriosis, unfortunately, I have to be honest, there's a lot of stigma around it, a lot of chronic pain, chronic symptoms. So many times when we're dealing with these issues, we're given a lot of band-aids, birth control, pain pills, these things and the other. But I really, really, really want to have an honest, candid conversation about pharmaceuticals, how they can be helpful for our healing journey. But what I've also seen, not just with my patients, but with myself, is an over-prescription, over-prescribing of medication. Every time something happens, they have a pill for every ill. And before you know it, you're going to Walgreens and you're picking up not one or two, but 8, 9, 10, 12, sometimes 15 different prescriptions. And I don't know, and maybe it's just me, I'll call myself out. There was a time I was on so many meds. I was like, now look here, I know that I got this for the pain, this for the nerve, this, that, and the other. But then I also had a whole nother slew of prescriptions for side effects. So the one that helps the pain also made me nauseated. Oh, don't worry, they had a prescription for that. Oh, then there was one for the nerve pain. Ah, but then it gave me like this weird referral pain in my stomach. Not to worry, they had a pill for that. So then I was like, am I taking prescriptions for all my initial problems? Am I just taking prescriptions for all the side effects? And then I started like, I don't even remember why I'm taking all of these. But what I do know is that the more prescriptions I added in, and I'm not coming from the high horse, honey, I'm coming from the low horse, the been there, done that. I was on so many pharmaceuticals, I had to set timers, number one, to stay on top of them. So many pills, my body became reliant on them. So I needed those prescriptions to function. I didn't feel like I could have quality of life without them. And I know some of you are like, all right, LJ, whatever, you're on the other side, you're not in pain. Honey, I've been there. And if I don't keep making the right lifestyle choices, I could be in that situation again. But this is the thing, we really need to start looking at conventional medicine for what it is, and then functional medicine for what it can do to help you function at an optimal level. All right, I'm getting fired up. Don't worry, I didn't forget about Dr. Phil, but I just want to kind of lay the groundwork for this. I know when you're managing chronic pain, you're managing chronic illness, pharmaceuticals are sometimes going to be part of your holistic healing journey. I have nothing against that, but I want us to be aware that those pharmaceuticals, they are not going to heal your body. They are not going to cure your body. They are not going to have you functioning at your 110%. They may boost you from a 35 to a 45. Maybe you're feeling 75%. But if you really and truly want to be functioning at your best level, you're going to have to make holistic lifestyle changes.
All right. Well, thank you, LJ. I appreciate that. That's an awesome honor to be here on your podcast today. And I love talking about what you've been talking about and the overuse of medication. And, you know, your experience is something I see and have seen way, way too often over my years of experience in pharmacy. I've been at this for 37 years now. It's hard to believe. I graduated way back in 1985 from pharmacy school. And I've been down a lot of different paths in my career in different areas of pharmacy. But quite a few years ago, I ended up moving down a path that a lot of pharmacists don't go down, and that is functional medicine and holistic wellness. And that's because I was looking for an answer for my own health problems that I was struggling with years ago. I had severe gastritis issues, severe gastrointestinal disorders, and I was taking a handful of medications myself, taking antacids every day on top of the medications, trying to get some relief from the major symptoms I was struggling with. And I would get some temporary relief, but that was it. And so one day I walked in a bookstore and there was a brand new display of books that was sitting in the floor in this nice little display. And I picked up one of those books, started thumbing through it. I saw some information about gastrointestinal issues. And I said, I've got to have this book. I think there's some help here for me. And, you know, the title of the book is actually what caught my eye, because the title of the book was The Prescription for Nutritional Healing. And I said, wow, that was very intriguing, because basically in pharmacy school, like, you know, especially back in the day when I went through pharmacy school, and even today, it's a little bit better, but not much. With pharmacy school and medical school, with the doctors, there's nothing taught about nutrition. We have no nutritional training, basically, at all. So when I saw this title, it was very intriguing. So I got it, I took it home, started applying what this doctor said to do for my GI problems. And this book was actually written by an MD, an allopathic MD, and his wife, who is a clinical nutritionist. They co-wrote the book together. And so I started applying it, and it was amazing. It was life-changing, the things that he recommended. And they were not medication. They were all holistic, natural therapies. I eventually learned why I had the GI problems I had. I got to the root cause of the problem with his instruction and one of the things that he suggested I test and try. And I never heard of the test before. And it was an acid test, testing for your stomach acid level. And so that's what I did. Found out I had low stomach acid as a condition that a lot of people have. And that was the answer, the primary answer. There were a lot of other things going on as well. I won't get into, but I said all that because that's what put me on a path to holistic and functional pharmacy and functional medicine that I do today. And what I do today, I'm not behind the counter anymore. I don't dispense medications anymore. I try to help people get off medication. I'm doing really... I actually was doing that even when I had pharmacies years ago. People would come in. I actually opened the first integrative pharmacy in my area where I live here in North Mississippi, and opened the first integrative pharmacy. Ended up opening two. I was actually integrating natural medicine and traditional allopathic medicine together in my pharmacy operation. But so many people would come in not wanting to take a medication, looking for an alternative answer, and I would be able to provide that. I actually had to go back to school and get training. So I've got a whole nother education on top of the one I'd already gotten in functional medicine and holistic wellness therapies. It's been very rewarding, and I love what I'm doing now. I'm coaching and I'm consulting and helping people every day that are struggling with health issues, that have been searching and searching, a lot of times for years, trying to find an answer. And nobody is addressing what I addressed years ago with the help of Dr. Baltz, who wrote this book I talked about. And that was the root cause of my problem. And I say all this to let your audience know that no matter what you're struggling with, and especially with hormonal issues, there's a root cause. And my philosophy is, let's test, don't guess. Let's try to get the root cause of the problem. And unfortunately, that's not part of allopathic medicine most of the time. The allopathic medicine is okay. Let's figure out what you got going on here. Let's figure out what these symptoms are, and let's prescribe the medication to control your symptoms. And nobody's doing the proper testing to get to the root cause of the problem. But anyway, that's about me. That's what I do. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have and share hopefully some great information and some nuggets with your audience today.
Well, you've already dropped a lot of gems and a lot of nuggets so far. I want to circle back to a couple things that you said. Even the pharmacist was like, look here, what I'm doing is not working. You want it to get to the root of the problem. And I think that is key. So many times, and I know this is going to be mind-blowing for you guys, like you, I always say, work with me here, bear with me, listen here. The endometriosis diagnosis, the fibroids, the PCOS, the acne, the weight gain, all of these symptoms that you're putting Band-Aids on, I'm here to tell you, I wish I could yell, but I don't want to blow your eardrums out. But here's the deal. That is not the problem. That is a symptom. That is your body telling you something is wrong. I know for some of you, you're like, no, the endometriosis is the problem, LJ. I've got stage 3 this, stage 4 that. The endometriosis is not the problem. It is a symptom. Chronic systemic inflammation, there are hormonal imbalances, there are things going on in your body, and those are the red flags. So rather than just finding a pill for every ill, Dr. Phil was saying, he had to get to the root of the problem. Now, I want to circle back a little bit more too and talk about this low stomach acid, because I know for me, I was in that category as well. Your girl has to take some HCL. I had to make some nutrition changes. I had to do some gut mapping. Talk to us a little bit about that. And how often do you see that low stomach acid and those type of GI issues in the patients that you're working with that have hormonal imbalances?
I see that quite often, actually, LJ. It's a trait that I have. What I discovered years ago was that people with blood type A are people who tend to have more of these type of issues with low stomach acid. People of other blood types don't have as much of a problem with that. Of course, it's also a problem of aging too. And that's why a lot of seniors are on chronic GI meds. These acid blockers, actually the opposite of what they should be on. And that's what I was on years ago. I was on these acid blockers, it was the opposite of what I should have been taking. And that's one of the things that I learned. When I got off the acid blockers and started supplementing with hydrochloric acid, that was my cure for the most part. Also, I learned at that time about probiotics.
Yes.
And what probiotics are. I was not taught anything about probiotics in pharmacy school, except for there was something called Lactobacillus acidophilus, and it was primarily given to children with diarrhea. and that was it. It came in a little powder form, little powder packets that could give the kids with diarrhea. But nobody, we weren't told anything about that or why that probiotics were needed, or that, when you take antibiotics, you should take probiotics to replace what the antibiotics are wiping out, or when you take acid blockers, or when you take anti-inflammatory medications, or when you take birth control pills, all of these medications that destroy your good bacteria. And nobody's telling people that they need to take a probiotic to replace them, or they need to be eating probiotics on a regular basis to replace what they're losing. So that was a connection there as well that I discovered. But with the acid issue, people with low stomach acid also tend to have more of a problem of developing candida.
Yes. Candida infection. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah.
And I also want to add, when we're looking at the low stomach acid, what I see in my practice is a lot of people that have been having, nausea, bloating, all of that. You guys are popping Tums like Tic Tacs. You're drinking Pepto-Bismol. You're doing all the things to calm the acid. You're taking the purple pill, the Nexium, all of those things, right? You're doing all this stuff. And then all of a sudden your stomach acid is like, okay, cool. You don't need me here. I'm out of here. Right. Yeah. And then you start having the issue. So for some of you, it's kind of just, like I said, we're not telling you to stop your prescriptions. That is not what I'm saying. Work with your doctor, work with someone to work you, you know, in the right direction to kind of get off some of those pharmaceuticals. But some of you are just doing all those things, right? You're having the burping, the gassing, the bloating. So you're taking all of these things to damper it down. And you're really causing the problem. So I just wanted to add that in, because I know for some of you, you're like, okay, well, I have endo, but I'm not older, this, that, and the other. The stomach acid is a huge thing. Now, I want Dr. Phil to dig a little deeper with this, because I even know firsthand that fungal overgrowth, that candida, when that hydrochloric acid, when that stomach acid is not where it needs to be, it is a breeding ground. And you guys hear me say it all the time. You like to sweep everything under that endo rug. Some of you guys, your rug ain't touching on any of the corners, baby. You input everything under there, getting to the root of the problem. So let's talk about that low stomach acid and how that really translates into that bacterial overgrowth.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, with the low stomach acid, it affects your digestive system and actually weakens your ability to properly digest foods, digest proteins in particular. And the stomach acid is important for the correct balance of bacteria in the gut. You know, we've got good bacteria, we've got bad bacteria. And and there's also not just bacteria, but there are other pathogens as well, like the candida, which is a fungus. Mm-hmm. They can also be parasitic infections that we get, that we can acquire also. But there's a multitude of different pathogens that we can have in our intestinal system. But mostly it's bacterial and fungal. And when we have low stomach acid, we tend to have more of an issue with developing those imbalances because that stomach acid plays an important role in keeping the good bacteria in balance and keeping the bad at bay. And the primary job of the good bacteria is to control the bad. What we call the probiotics, or they call them good bugs or gut bugs. There's all kinds of different names for them. Normal flora, that normal flora that we all have is a combination of the good and the bad. So when the good and the bad, when there's an imbalance there and you have an overgrowth of some of the bad, it creates a condition called dysbiosis. So people with low stomach acid are more likely to have dysbiosis. And you know, when you're not able to properly break your foods down, digest your foods properly, break the fibers down, especially if you don't have enough acid, to break those fibers down. Those fibers are one of the things, fibers from plants, from fruits and vegetables, and from nuts as well. It's that fiber that helps feed and help the good bacteria grow. Some of these fibers are known as prebiotics. Prebiotics are what feed the good bacteria, the probiotics. So there's a strong connection there. With the imbalance of acid in our stomach, and there these medications that I mentioned a moment ago, and you're talking about all the different medications. These medications are one of the things too that can throw that balance off. You may not genetically have low stomach acid like I do, but if you're taking certain medications that like the acid blockers I was talking about, or if you're taking antacids on a regular basis, you're blocking the production of that acid that you vitally need. And those medications will cause that dysbiosis of the gut, where you get an overgrowth of the bad pathogens and a die off or killing off of the good. So many people are struggling with dysbiosis conditions. They don't even know it. Nobody's testing for that. And interesting enough, LJ, with the endo, there is a strong connection with dysbiosis and endometriosis and candida overgrowth and endometriosis. And you know, that's one of the things that the women that I work with on hormonal balance, and I've been helping women with hormonal issues and doing hormonal testing for many, many years, and having them getting the proper lab work done that they often have never heard of, because nobody's ever told them you need to have this tested, that tested, or whatever. You need to see if your estrogen, your progesterone, your testosterone is in balance. You need to see if your adrenals or hormones are in balance, if your adrenals are functioning correctly. Nobody's testing for that in allopathic medicine usually. It's very rare that it's done. But yeah, there's that strong connection there. And these medications that are often prescribed will definitely cause that problem of low stomach acid or of dysbiosis.
Right. And like you said, a lot of people aren't testing it. And I think back to my situation when I was picking all my stuff up from Walgreens, like I was taking this, but then I had this side effect. I was taking this, had a couple more side effects. And if I just would have stopped and got to the root of the problem, I'm calling myself out right now. I have, like I said, I don't come from the high horse, baby. I come from the low horse, been there, done that. Like, I know what it's like to be on the pharmaceuticals. And that's why I do what I do today, because I tried all of that. I did the birth control. I wasn't testing, right? I was guessing. I was throwing random supplements, this, that, and the other, but the education I had, and it was literally working against me. For many of you, and I say it again, here's number three for this podcast, you are sweeping everything under the endo rug, but you have to understand your body is a total system. Your hormones, your stomach acid, your GI, your kidney, your liver, your everything is connected, and you have to support it. That's why you need to test. You need to see what's going on.
Yeah. Well, where I start with all of my patients that I work with is I start with the diet, and I want to find out what they're eating. I want to find out what's going in in their mouth and in their body on a day to day basis that can be part of the root cause. Or what's not going in their mouth can be part of the root cause. We look at that. Also, I'm looking for toxicity issues. I want to know all about their background, but where they were raised, what kind of environment they were brought up in. Because a lot of these hormonal issues that people are struggling with today are environmental. They've been exposed to a heavy dose of chemicals a lot. And they live in an area at either in an industrial area or an agricultural area where maybe they've gotten an overdose or an overload or of exposure to pesticides. That's one of the major things. And there's plenty of studies to show this, how these pesticides and herbicides that are used in our farming operations today have a direct effect on hormone balance. And can cause and disrupt the balance of hormones. There's something called xenoestrogens.
Yes, that's what I was going to ask about. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm asking about that. I'm looking for that. I'm doing a thorough history to try to find out. I tell people this all the time. One of the things that I do that I love doing because I've always, as a kid, I read mystery books. I love mysteries, and I love watching mystery shows, mystery movies, and stuff. So I'll tell people, I put on my Sherlock Holmes hat, and I start looking for clues.
A health detective.
Putting these clues together that can help get to the root cause of the problem. But starting with nutrition and starting with exposure, chemical or toxic exposure of some kind, is where I start. Once we get some answers there and we kind of get an idea of what needs to be done testing wise, we start talking about the testing. If there's been a lot of chemical exposure, then we want to do a toxicity testing. We want to look and see what chemicals may still be in the body that may be contributing to this imbalance or disruption of the hormones or of the gut as well, because these toxins will affect the gut also. And then we start talking about what type of hormone testing do we want to do. And I'll find out what kind of testing has been done previously. Sometimes my clients have had blood tests done to check where they've had a blood test done to check their hormone levels, which is not the most accurate and, in my opinion, the best way to check your hormones, because you're getting a one-shot view of what your hormones are on a particular day, and what's showing up in the blood on a particular day. For cycling females, there needs to be a cycling test done where you're looking at more than one day. You're looking at multiple days to get to see what the hormones are doing, especially if in the fertile years and if they're struggling with infertility. You want to get that cycling hormone panel done. So that's the first steps and the approaches that I use. But I always go back, to nutrition, because it's so important. Regardless of what you do, regardless of taking medication, doing some type of functional therapy or whatever, if you don't work on the nutrition side of things, you don't make some corrections there, get the right foods in your body, foods that actually can help in balancing out your hormones, then you're missing the boat. So I stress that over. And I actually have hormone balancing meal plans that mm-hmm. I provide, for my clients as well, because it is so important. And there's certain foods that that everybody that's struggling with hormone issues should make sure they're getting in their diet on a regular basis.
Absolutely. And I want to talk a little bit more about the xenoestrogen. So some of you guys are like, I'm not taking in a bunch of chemicals, or I eat organic foods, this, that, and the other. Listen here, honey, some of you guys are exposing yourself to 300-500 products or, toxins before 8 o'clock in the morning, when you're putting on your Bath and Body Works and you're using mm-hmm. your smell good lotions and you're putting in your hair stuff. All of those things are going into your body. Your skin is your largest pore. You are taking in all of those toxins. And so I know that many of you, when you only think of detoxification, you're thinking of a tea or a detox protocol, but it can be something as simple as using your castor oil pack. And I'm all for detoxing your body with oil pulling and all of these amazing things, but it also would be smart to cut back, right? To cut back on some of the toxins that you're bringing into your body, even your pharmaceuticals, right? Those pharmaceuticals are being processed through your liver, your kidneys. It has to go through somewhere. So you have to support your body in that detoxification process. So those xenoestrogens, we'll definitely have an episode where we delve a little deeper into that, because I don't feel that people are truly aware of all the toxins and all the chemicals that our body, I mean, just walking outside for a breath of fresh air, right? You are picking up tons of toxins, not wanting you to live in fear, but there are things that you can do, like avoiding tap water. And maybe Dr. Pill, give us a few tips. What are some things, 3 to 4 things that people can do to start decreasing the toxic load on their body, especially if they're dealing with hormonal imbalances?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you just said the number one, and that's water. Right. The majority of people that I work with, one of the first questions I want to know when I'm working with somebody is, how much water are you drinking every day, and what kind of water are you drinking? The majority of people, when I ask them, how much water they're drinking, their answer is, well, probably not enough. And right. They're exactly right. They're exactly right every time. They know they're not drinking enough water. Keeping the body well hydrated, but with clean water that's been filtered, the chemicals removed, because some of these chemicals in the water that are xenoestrogens.
Yeah.
Glyphosate, and most people are familiar with glyphosate today because it's talked about so much and it's in the news a lot. And you've got the big chemical company called Monsanto. That's controlling our food supply now, with the farmers that they control. They are the biggest producer of this chemical called glyphosate, and they're all the crops, being sprayed with this chemical. And it is a xenoestrogen. There are other ones that are as well. If people have never heard that term xenoestrogen, what that means, is estrogen-like. It's estrogen mimicking. These chemicals mimic estrogen in our body, and they will attach to the estrogen receptors and block natural estrogen from attaching to that receptor. So you end up with high estrogen levels, natural estrogen levels in your body. So you end up with a condition called, what is it? I'm trying to think of the term that they use, estrogen dominance. Yeah. And that estrogen dominance is one of the, you know, big issues a lot of people are struggling with. All of these chemicals, these pesticides, all the different things that we're exposed to on a regular basis. If you're eating, there are certain foods that you can eat that can help with removal of those.
Right.
And that's what I encourage people to do. And these foods also are very important in helping balance the hormones and making sure that the metabolization of your hormones are being metabolized down the right pathways. Other than the clean water, and what I recommend is alkaline water, spring water, natural water, natural as you can get it. The natural spring water is the best in my opinion. Now there's all kinds of water filters and water machines that will provide you with good clean water, and those are fine. But you want water that's got the natural minerals in it, if at all possible, because those minerals are extremely important. But other than the purifying, clean, detoxifying water, brassica family vegetables are the primary food that I recommend. Anybody struggling with hormone issues, make sure they're getting the brassica family vegetables in their diet every day. Some kind of brassica family vegetables, and those include like broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, kale, those kind of things. And broccoli is probably the best of all of them as far as providing correct amount or needed amount of what they call phytochemicals to help in balancing out the hormones to a certain degree. But also these vegetables have ingredients in them that support our detox pathways in the liver. And and that's where it's all taking place. That's where all the hormones are being metabolized and produced in our liver. And so we have to support our liver, keep our liver healthy. And these vegetables will help do that. Now there's another family of vegetables that's extremely important as well. And that's the alum family. We're talking about onions and garlic primarily here.
Yes.
Those also help support the detox pathway. And then there is one particular spice that I'm big on and recommend on, and I use myself on a regular basis. And that's turmeric or turmeric, as some people pronounce it. All of those can help in with the detox pathway in our body. There are actual supplements that will help support that as well. One of those that I use and recommend regularly is something called N-acetylcysteine, NAC, NAC. Some people call it NAC, but N-acetylcysteine is the precursor to the master antioxidant in our liver and our bodies called glutathione. And if we have low glutathione, we're not going to detox very well. And so those are things that I'm talking to people about. Those are things that I'm recommending when it comes to diet, nutrition, those kind of things that can be very supportive and very helpful in somebody struggling with hormonal issues or toxicity and or toxicity issues.
And I have to say, I mean, I know some of you are like, oh no, but here's the deal. If you're dealing with hormonal imbalance, there's probably a detoxification issue. It just goes hand in hand. No shame in the game, but you have to address both of them. And also listen to what Dr. Phil was saying, bringing in nutrient dense nutrition, right? Not always running for an extra supplement, getting in these leafy greens, getting in these foods can really help. Even going back to the stomach acid, making sure you're taking your digestive enzymes. I know for me, I was doing all the things, taking all the organic stuff in, but I needed that stomach acid, which was low. And I also needed those digestive digestive enzymes. Sometimes something just as simple as that, right? Now, we're practitioners, we're not yours. This is for educational purposes, but that can make such a big difference. I always say it, sometimes you just need to get a fresh set of eyes on your situation. So I did get a couple of questions about this episode when it came to pharmaceuticals. So one of the questions that I did get was, what are some of the side effects or what are some of the things that you see when people are taking too many pharmaceuticals? And then how can someone start weaning down?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. And what we've been talking about, the getting to the root cause and all of the nutrition side of things and all, these are things that are extremely helpful whether you're taking medication or not. But the things we've been talking about so far are things that can keep you off of medication if you're not taking it already. And they are things that can help you reduce your medication effect, more efficiently. If that's your desire, and I hope that it is, especially if you're being over-medicated. And so, what I see with people a lot of times with these, especially with hormonal issues, being over-medicated, and if they have endo, yeah, you're right. They're taking a pain medication or an anti-inflammatory. Sometimes they're taking an antidepressant as well. They may be taking some kind of hormone medication as well, birth control pills or some kind of hormone replacement medication as well. And there are side effects, multiple side effects to go along with these. With the pain medications, of course, we've already alluded to that and these medications will destroy the good bacteria in the gut. They cause stomach upset. They actually can, over a period of time, destroy the stomach lining.
Right.
If they're taking too much for too long, it causes a lot of GI distress, a lot of GI problems. They also can cause breakdown and deterioration of the cartilage in the body. Those are some of the major side effects with them. When it comes to, and I see this all the time, women that are struggling with hormonal issues, they get prescribed antidepressants.
Yes.
Even though they don't need them. That's a Band-Aid. That's a Band-Aid that's given them. Because a lot of times when they're struggling with hormonal issues, you're struggling with emotional issues. And they're often given an antidepressant as a to try to fix the emotional issues, which they don't have a deficiency in Prozac. They don't have a deficiency in Zoloft,
right?
Or
right.
Celexa, or whatever antidepressant that they're given. But they do have a deficiency of their hormones sometimes. Maybe they've got low progesterone, or maybe there's too much estrogen, or maybe the testosterone is too low. All of these, when these hormones are out of balance, it's going to affect your emotions. And unfortunately, instead of testing the levels of all of these hormones, they're given an antidepressant. And so these antidepressants have a whole multitude of side effects. I mean, you can go Google side effects and antidepressants and you can fall asleep pretty quickly trying to go through all of them.
I know, right?
But yeah, there's so many. But some of the major side effects with those is going to be, again, GI problems. These medications will often cause GI problems, constipation, diarrhea, stomach upset, irritable bowel, all of those kind of things that sometimes people with hormonal issues are already struggling with to a certain degree. And then sometimes, they will make the emotional issues even worse. And antidepressants can cause anxiety a lot of times. Anxiety medications can cause depression. And sometimes right. People are put on anti-anxiety medications as well when they're struggling with hormonal issues. Brain fog, drowsiness, inability to focus and concentrate. Sometimes it affects brain health to a certain degree in a lot of different ways. So there's a whole long list of these side effects that people need to be aware of and that are often aware of them. But I encourage people, go look at the research. Go to PubMed and look and see what studies are showing about these medications. Go look at the warning boxes or ask the pharmacist, "Were you getting your medication? Can you show me what the warning boxes are on these medications?" And a lot of people are totally unaware of that. So many of these medications have major warnings about the potential harm and potential side effects that they can cause people. But as far as getting off of the medication, I always tell people, LJ, work with your doctor. Don't try to do it by yourself, because it can be dangerous, especially with the antipsychotic medication, the antidepressants, anti-anxiety medications, those kind of things. Especially those, and especially if you've been on them for a while, because if you've been on them for a certain extended period of time, months or years, you can't just stop them all of a sudden. Usually,
absolutely,
very rare that a person can cold turkey a medication like that and not have major side effects. They can throw you for a loop, so to speak, emotionally if you do that. And even some of the anti-anxiety medications that people on, if you stop those suddenly, it can trigger seizures. And I've seen that happen to people. They said, "Hey, I'm not taking this anymore." Next thing you know, they're having seizures. They're in the hospital. They can't drive for, a period of time and they end up on seizure medication. You're just creating another set of problems. I tell people, be extremely careful. And work with your doctor, work with a healthcare practitioner of some kind that can help you work your way off of them slowly and in a timely manner, where you lessen the chances of any harmful side effects that can occur from working your way off of the medication.
And I like that you said that, because working with a practitioner can kind of help with some of those side effects. As you're weaning off the pharmaceutical, there are nutraceutical supplements, different things that can be brought in to plug in those holes. So it's like, don't beat yourself up. I don't want everyone to look at their pharmaceuticals and be like, "Oh my gosh," right? But like I said, as the Holistic Endo podcast, my goal is to open up your mind and your heart to the natural things that you can do. Sometimes pharmaceuticals are going to be part of your healing journey, but you don't want to be on those forever. Don't want to be on them forever, ever increasing dosages. You don't want to always have to add in another pharmaceutical for side effects. So that was one of the biggest questions. It's like, okay, I know I'm over-medicated. What do I do? The other question was, what if my doctor isn't on board with me decreasing my medication? What do I do? Do I need to get a new doctor? Do I just listen to the doctor I've had? Like, what would be some encouragement and direction you would give someone that's kind of struggling with that?
Well, I tell people all the time, you want a doctor, no matter what kind of doctor you have, if it's allopathic, traditional allopathic, if it's a functional medicine doctor, if it's a naturopath, homeopathic, whatever title they have, whatever credentials they have, you want one that's going to listen to you and is going to really listen to you. Because nobody knows your body better than you do. And if you are feeling things that you don't want to feel, and your doctor's just saying, that's nothing, that's just part of it, or they're just blowing you off, then I tell people, you need another doctor. You need a doctor that will listen to you and work with you on what you feel like you need for your body. If you don't have a doctor that's willing to do that, then it's time to find a new one. I encourage people all the time, and it's hard, maybe harsh to say this, but if you have to fire your doctor and find one that will listen to you and that is eager to try to help you in the best way for you and for what's going on with your body, and one that also is going to be open to you trying other things and helping you and saying, "Okay, I'm your doctor and I want to help you. I think," and a lot of times they may say, "Well, I think this is what you should do, but if you really want to try this, I'll work with you on it and I'll monitor you and I'll make sure you give it a try and let's just see what happens." Whether it be lifestyle changes or if it be, trying a nutraceutical or trying, you know, some other type of therapy that can help you. And there's all kinds of therapies out there. And a doctor that's totally closed-minded to not working with you on trying other things and engaging other healthcare providers on your team. And I tell people all the time, sometimes, you know, we need a team to help us get to where we're going and move us along the path. Having a general practitioner or an endocrinologist or an OBGYN that's on our team, yeah, we need that. But you may also need a psychologist on your team to help you on with the emotional side of things. You may need a pharmacist on your team to help you with sorting through all the medications and the nutraceuticals and the questions that are around that. You may need a physical therapist on your team, possibly depending on what's going on. And there's nothing wrong with that in engaging other providers that can help you not just manage the problem, manage the disease or the symptoms, but to actually reverse them. And, yes. And that's what I want to see people do, to be able to reverse these symptoms. And, you know, so many times we're told for these conditions, there's no cure. I don't accept that. If somebody were to tell me right now I had a particular condition and there's no cure, I would say, well, you sit back and watch, or you hide and watch, and let's see if we can.
I love it.
I'm going to try to find a cure. I was diagnosed 16 years ago with an autoimmune disorder. And I was told there's no cure. I was told I would have to have, the only thing I could do is get steroid injections, and it might help and it might not. But whether it did or not, it would leave craters in my skin, in my face, and in my head, because I had something called alopecia areata. And a lot of people today know what that is. They didn't know a few months ago because of the slap that was heard around the world by Will Smith, and found out, you know, his wife, Jada, right, was dealing with a thing called alopecia areata. You know, that all got around back a couple months ago. But anyway, I had alopecia areata. And so I set out to find a cure. I set out to reverse it. And I did. You see, I got a full beard now. It's not a long beard. I don't like long beards. And this spot, this big bald spot I had on the back of my head, is no longer there. And it hadn't been there for 16 years now. I reversed that. And so, you know, when somebody says there's nothing else we can do, there's no cure, you just got to take this medicine the rest of your life, or you got to do these treatments the rest of your life, I'm not one that accepts that. And I want to help other people that are struggling with that also and say, hey, is there not something else I can do? Well, yeah, there possibly is. And I'm not going to say, you know, what I did will work for everybody, or that there's any one particular thing out there that's going to cure everything or reverse everything. But I believe a lot of what we're told that is irreversible, or there's nothing that can be done, you're just going to have to live with this the rest of your life. I don't accept that.
I'm right there with, I say it all the time. You need to have practitioners that are your ride or die, and not just people that are going to help you survive your condition, but help you thrive. And that takes a full holistic approach. Like Dr. Phil was saying, you may need a podiatrist, a rheumatologist, your OB, your GP, your PCP. You may need all the things and all the people. And I know I've got a great team, but it took time to develop that team. And it also took me advocating for myself, me getting sick and tired of being sick and tired 24/7 and being like, hey, I know you guys are saying endo has no cure, but I'm over here. I can't raise my kids. I can't go to work. I can't go to the bathroom. I'm sleeping downstairs on the couch because I don't have the energy to walk upstairs. Now I've got the money to buy this nice house. Now I don't have the energy to walk around. Like, I had to get tired of it. And so it took time to develop that team. But at the end of the day, I am very, very grateful for it. And Dr. Phil, I'm grateful for the work that you do in the community. You're like, I am not taking this no cure mess. There is a cure. It just may look a little different for everyone. May not be the same as everyone listening to this podcast, but that's why I say I'm here to educate, motivate, and empower you so that you can live your best life, so that you can be in the driver's seat of your health, because you do not have to suffer all the time, right? You don't have to be going from pill to pill, from day to day, from flare to flare. There are things that you have to do, but as you listen to every podcast, you have to be consistent. There has to be some consistency. So Dr. Phil, what are some of the final words you would tell to someone that's listening to this podcast that's like, okay, I'm ready to make that shift? Where would you want them to start?
Yeah. Well, as I said before, LJ, you know, starting by looking at the nutrition and analyzing, evaluating your diet and what's going on there. What are you eating? What are you drinking every day? You've got to evaluate that. And then I would say you'll seek out a provider who can help you get the right testing done. And look at your true hormone levels, not what the blood shows up on one particular day, but I work with labs that do saliva testing and urine testing. And those are the two more efficient, effective ways of seeing what your true levels, cellular levels of hormones are in your body. And one of those, a urine test I use, it's called a Dutch test, actually helps. It actually analyzes and looks at the estrogen metabolites that can be one of the contributing causes of endometriosis. When you have your estrogen that's not being metabolized correctly and goes down a pathway where you can develop this proliferative tissue more easily, then that's something that needs to be addressed and looked at. And that's often, and a blood test can't tell you that. Testing those urine metabolites that are being excreted of the hormones, those estrogen metabolites, they're excreted in the urine. And so that particular urine test can be a very informative tool. It's not a diagnostic tool, but it's an informative tool to help a person know what might possibly be going on in their body that needs to be addressed and addressed quickly. And also, the metabolites that are more likely to cause cancer or be the underlying root cause of cancer as well. So that testing is extremely important, and seeking out the test and the right kind of testing is the next step or part of the overall therapy that needs to be done. And it can provide answers that you can help you in determining, even nutritional things that we talked about, and what type of foods you need to be getting in your body, what type of supplements you may need to be taking. And the sweet thing here, is that I want people to know that when there's hormone imbalances, a medication is not always needed. There are nutraceuticals that can help and help restore balance to the hormones.
Absolutely.
And I'll be amiss if I don't mention one other thing too that needs to be addressed with people, and they need to be seeking out and looking at. And we've kind of alluded to this a couple of times, and that's the adrenals. And people are under so much stress today, and stress. How much stress is in a person's life? What type of maybe they've been through some traumatic events? Maybe they've got day in, day out, major stress going on, or and even if it's mild stress sometimes, but over a long period of time can disrupt hormone balance, because the adrenal, those two little glands that sit on top of our kidneys, and that's a whole other subject, to get into, but that is something that when people are looking for answers of what's going on with their hormones, why their hormones are so out of balance, the adrenal function, adrenal dysfunction, or is what I call it. A lot of people are struggling with adrenal dysfunction because of major stress in their lives. That needs to be addressed, needs to be looked at.
Yes, stress is so, so important. And we're probably going to do another episode about that, because I think for some people, they're like, I'm not under a lot of stress, or it can be good stress. It could be like, oh my gosh, I just got a raise. Oh my gosh, I'm getting married. I'm having a baby. It could be something positive, but stress plays an important role. So I'll definitely have to bring you back for another episode. We'll have to do a part two and talk more about that. But thank you so much for your time, Dr. Phil.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you, Jose, and I thank you for encouraging people to be their own best health advocate. And I do that as well all the time. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to take our health in our own hands. We need doctors. We need people on our healthcare team, but we're the one that's most responsible for our own health.